Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Payments News. My name is Cindy and today is September 30th, 2019. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about OnePlus announces plans for OnePlus Pay launch. M&S selects Ingenico for omni-channel payments for UK customers. ePassi secures €41.50 MLN growth investment. Operational glitch at NatWest exposes online account details to wrong customers. EBANX to process payments for Uber in LATAM. Israel and Croatia announce agreement on fintech cooperation. Flywire, JCB partner for cross-border tuition payments. Evo Payments, Cardstream team up for digital payments for merchants. Worldline supports UnionPay and Alipay acceptance at Budapest Airport. Feebank, MasterCard and Garmin roll out watch payment in Bulgaria. Mincay acquires Spanish fintech Afterbanks to connect with open banking data. PFS to hire 50 more IT staff on move to new Irish HQ. Forwardline Financial raises $20 million. 75% of customers in the UAE prefer online banking, study. Amex adds new incentives to Amazon SMB credit card. ANZ Bank backs virtual corporate card startup DiviPay. Spend management startup TeamPay raises $12 million. FBI, BBB sound another business email compromise alarm. The Cybersecurity Juggling Act of Buyer-Supplier Connectivity. ADIB rolls out Samsung Pay. UK Finance, no silver bullet for solving local access to cash. Now let's get started. OnePlus announces plans for OnePlus Pay launch. Chinese smartphone maker OnePlus has announced the launch OnePlus Pay, a digital payments service. With a debut set for 2020, there's some speculation about OnePlus Pay being an alternative to Google Pay and other UPI-based services, but the company said the users won't need a physical wallet, which could also mean a cards plus wallet service with tokenization. OnePlus hasn't mentioned what technology it will be using or what banks it will support, nor what countries will target with its new payment system. M&S selects Ingenico for omni-channel payments for UK customers. Ingenico Group has partnered with M&S to implement a new payment service that will encompass all M&S customer touchpoints and digital channels. Ingenico's payment platform will allow M&S customers to pay wherever and whenever they want using their preferred method and sales channel. The platform will enable the company to tailor its offers, streamline its omni-channel shopping experience, and ensure that the payment process follows every customer journey. In addition, Ingenico PCI PTS5 hardware will be rolled out across the M&S estate, with the P2PE technology implemented, connected to an in-store and online PCI DSS platform to ensure customer data is secure. ePassi secures €41.50 MLN growth investment. ePassi, a Finland-based mobile payments company, has received an €41.5 million investment from Bregal Milestone and Risto Sielasmaa's First Fellow Partners. The two investors are together pouring €41.5 million into ePassi via an equity-funded transaction. The investment by Bregal Milestone is the fifth out of the €400 million fund and marks the second transaction in Finland in 2019. ePassi has expanded into corporate benefit and mobile wallet solutions, and has signed a number of partnerships with international players, including Alipay and WeChat. The transaction is expected to complete during Q4 2019 and is subject to approval by regulatory authorities. Operational glitch at NatWest exposes online account details to wrong customers. NatWest customers have posted on Twitter that when logging into their account, they could see different customers' bank details, balances and transactions, according to FinTech Futures. One customer said that he could see a completely different company's bank details, balances and transactions, while another NatWest business account holder tweeted the bank just logged on to our business account and been given access to everything belonging to another company. Nevertheless, NatWest told the BBC this was an isolated incident affecting a small number of customers and has now been resolved. The bank says it is working with customers affected to keep them up to date and provide support. EBANX to process payments for Uber in LATAM. EBANX has announced that it will start processing payments for Uber in LATAM. The fintech company will process cash voucher and bank transfer payments for Uber in Brazil and also in other countries in LATAM. According to the press release, the first integration tests are being conducted and more details of the partnership will be released soon. EBANX is a global fintech company with operations in Brazil, Mexico, Argentina, Colombia, Chile, Peru, Ecuador, and Bolivia. The company was founded in 2012 to bridge the access gap between Latin Americans and international websites. It offers end-to-end payment solutions across the entire cross-border e-commerce transaction flow, providing over 100 Latin American local payment options to global merchants that aim to expand throughout the region. Israel and Croatia announce agreement on fintech cooperation. The Israel Securities Authority (ESA) and the Capital Market, Insurance, and Saving Authority (CMISA) have signed a fintech collaboration MOU with the Croatian Financial Services Supervisory Agency (HANFA). The purpose of the agreement is to encourage fintech innovation in Croatia and Israel by providing support to fintech companies and to enable information sharing regarding this domain. Both authorities consider MOS with corresponding authorities worldwide as an important step toward expanding cooperation and knowledge sharing and creating access to regulation for entrepreneurs seeking new global markets for their financial services. These MOS also reinforce Israel's status as an innovative, advanced center of fintech, according to the official press release. Flywire, JCB partner for cross-border tuition payments. Flywire and JCB International have partnered to provide international students with a new method for making cross-border tuition payments. The program launched on the 27th of September 2019, allowing cardholders in select countries and regions mainly in Asia to use their JCB card to pay tuition at any one of the over 2,000 schools around the world that offer Flywire for international payments. Students and their families will be able to use their JCB card to pay international tuition via Flywire's platform in their local currency. Initially, the program will be available in the following currencies: JPY, VND, KRW, TWD, CNY, PHP, THB, IDR, RUB, HKD, SGD, and MMK. Flywire provides a single point of management and payer engagement from billing and payment through reconciliation. Schools can offer students and families a tailored payment experience, customized by school, country and regions, and currency. Evo Payments, Cardstream team up for digital payments for merchants. Evo Payments has partnered with Cardstream to work on digital payment solutions for merchants. With a single integration to Cardstream, Evo will leverage Cardstream's partner network to bring new technologies to its merchants. Evo Payments is a payment technology and services provider, which offers payment solutions to merchants ranging from small and mid-size enterprises to multinational companies and organizations across the globe. The company is an integrated merchant acquirer and payment processor in over 50 markets and 150 currencies worldwide. Earlier in August 2019, JCB International has partnered with Evo Payments to enable JCB payment acceptance for merchants across the UK and Ireland. Worldline supports UnionPay and Alipay acceptance at Budapest Airport. Worldline, a European market leader in payment and transaction services, has introduced its acquiring services for the Chinese tourists' favorite payment brands at Budapest Airport. This is the first Alipay acceptance location in Hungary and the second collaboration of Worldline with Heinemann Duty Free after the launch of Alipay at Amsterdam Airport Schiphol in January 2018, according to the official press release. Budapest is one of the must-see destinations in tours around Central Europe and, in recent years, has seen a significant increase in tourists from China. In 2018, some 250,000 Chinese tourists visited the Hungarian capital, with a growth rate of more than 11%. As a central acquiring partner for both Alipay and UnionPay, Worldline is enabling merchants at airports in Amsterdam Schiphol, Basel Mulhouse, Bremen, Brussels, Burgas, Copenhagen, Frankfurt, Geneva, Helsinki, London Heathrow, Luxembourg, Malmö, Malta, Martinique, Munich, Stockholm Arlanda, Toulouse, Varna, Vienna and Zurich to offer their Chinese traveling customers the same payment methods they normally use at home. FiBank, MasterCard and Garmin roll out watch payment in Bulgaria. First Investment Bank, FiBank, has teamed up with MasterCard and Garmin to enable customers in Bulgaria pay with their Garmin watches. The announcement is made possible via Garmin Pay, which can be used by FiBank customers with MasterCard cards for payments through Garmin watches. Under the Garmin Pay watch payment project, customers will be able to use the new service at all contactless POS terminals and contactless ATMs. The Garmin Pay service is supported by the MasterCard Digital Enablement Service (MDES) technology and card registration can be done through the Garmin Connect Mobile (GCM) app. In addition, the service is intended for people with an active lifestyle and athletes. It eliminates the need to carry a bag, wallet, card or a smartphone. The bank and MasterCard previously partnered in 2010 to launch the PayPass contactless payment technology in Bulgaria. Later in 2016, the partners introduced the first digital card in the country. Mincei acquires Spanish fintech Afterbanks to connect with open banking data. Spain-based business management consultancy Mincei has acquired Spanish fintech startup Afterbanks. Afterbanks technology allows data from different Spanish banks to be retrieved and aggregated quickly and payments to be initiated. The acquisition will allow Mincei to offer new payment alternatives to its customers, facilitate digital financing through advanced customer profiling in real time or generate new business models that help the financial management of individuals and companies. This acquisition accelerates Mincei's advance in the open banking business as it complements its offer for the financial sector and expands its solutions in areas such as payment methods, data intelligence or solutions that facilitate companies' financial management. Afterbanks technology is already being tested in advanced digital transformation initiatives in large companies, for example, to facilitate invisible payments in shops through facial recognition, real-time profiling for digital consumer finance, or bank reconciliation to facilitate the provision of proactive financing solutions to SMEs. PFS to hire 50 more IT staff on move to new Irish HQ. Prepaid Financial Services is creating another 50-plus new jobs in the Meath area of Ireland with other vacancies also being created in the London and Malta offices. The announcement is in addition to the 50 roles that were filled earlier in the year. The company has quickly outgrown its existing office in Ireland and will soon move into a new three-story building in Trim, County Meath. Our best efforts to remain in Navan, County Meath didn't materialize due to a lack of suitable office space for our numbers, and issues that arose with planning, preventing us from progressing the development on Abbey Road. However, Navan's loss is Trim's gain, and due to rapid growth, we push on with a new development plan. This is a terrific jobs boost for the area and we will also make a significant investment of around 50 million into a new sleek, modern fintech hub which, when fully developed, will create up to 750 office spaces. As a Meath man, I am proud to be creating more new jobs in the region and we hope we can fill a lot of these roles at the upcoming Meath Careers Expo on Wednesday, October 2nd. We will be doing on-the-spot interviews for suitable candidates, so come along to our stand and speak to our team, stated Noel Moran, CEO at PFS. The fintech is seeking to attract technology professionals, and particularly, developers and IT staff intent on developing their career in a fast-growing environment. Vacancies are across the business and include software developers, DevOps engineers, iOS and Android app developers, full-stack developers and front-end developers. PFS will commence interviews immediately. Forwardline Financial raises $20 million. California-based Forwardline Financial announced that it has raised $20 million in growth capital, led by Five Oceans Capital and Marcico Enterprises. Launched in 2003 and led by CEO Steve Carlson, Forwardline Financial is a non-bank lender providing small businesses across the United States with financing alternatives to traditional business loans. In addition to loans, the company also offers payment processing services to its borrowers. The new funding will use to support Forwardline Financial's origination goals. Backed by Chicago-based private equity firm The Vistria Group, the company also recently closed a $100 million senior credit facility with Sector Financial, a division of Credit Suisse, and Neuberger Berman private equity funds. The new capital helped the company achieve new record originations in Q2 2019, a 300% increase over the previous year. Since its launch, Forwardline has provided more than $500 million in funding to over 15,000 companies. The growth that we've experienced over the past year highlights the passion that our team members have towards helping small business owners achieve their dreams, Carlson said in a press release. We are thrilled to have the support of Five Oceans Capital and Marcico Enterprises as we continue to deliver industry-leading growth. Vistria seeks to partner with investors that share our vision for growth and passion for improving the financial health of small businesses, said Mike Castleforte, partner at the Vistria Group. We're pleased to have both Five Oceans Capital and Marcico Enterprises support the Forwardline team as the company continues on its path to becoming the preferred partner for small businesses nationwide. 75% of customers in the UAE prefer online banking, study. A Banker Middle East Industry Awards survey has revealed that 75% of bank clients in the United Arab Emirates prefer online banking to physical branches. A majority of bank customers' visits to physical locations has decreased to 0 to 2 times per year, according to a study conducted by New Perspective Media Group. The survey revealed that an increasing number of people prefer digital banking services due to their satisfactory safety features, omni-channel experience. An overall change in customer behavior and preferences has also led to more people using online banking services. New Perspective's survey of 2,200 UAE residents found that 83% regularly use online banking platforms and banking apps due to the high level of security and convenience. UAE's citizens also prefer internet-based banking services because of their 24/7 availability. According to the survey, consumers primarily use online services to pay utility bills, conduct money transfers, settle credit card payments, and view bank statements. The survey also found that 45% of the respondents still prefer human interaction and visiting physical bank locations when dealing with more complicated banking services such as open new accounts, cash deposits, check-in cashment, loan procedures, credit card applications, and credential changes. In response to a question about which bank service they use regularly, the survey respondents said they regularly use ATMs, banking apps, bank outlets, and phone banking. Amex adds new incentives to Amazon SMB credit card. American Express has announced a new incentive for small businesses to sign up for its Amazon Business Prime American Express card. Reports in NerdWallet on Friday, September 27, said that in addition to the $125 Amazon gift card provided to small businesses that are Prime members and are approved for the Small Business Credit Card, American Express is also offering rewards linked to spend regardless of whether or not that small business makes purchases on Amazon. Specifically, Amex is offering an additional $100 statement credit after spending $3,000 on the card in the first 3 months in the 2% and 1% cashback categories, which include restaurants, gas stations, and wireless telephone services from U.S. service providers. Users receive 1% cash back on all other eligible purchases. That $100 credit is offered to small businesses regardless of whether they are Prime members, though non-Prime members are only eligible for a $100 Amazon gift card in addition to the $100 statement. For both Prime and non-Prime small business cardholders, American Express offers a $0 annual fee as well as a range of other ongoing rewards, including 5% cash back or 90-day interest-free payment terms when small businesses use the card to make purchases on Amazon Business, Amazon.com, Whole Foods Market, or Amazon Web Services. Amazon announced last year that it had chosen American Express to launch its small business credit card, which integrates a range of business-focused features that include spend management and analytics. In a statement at the time, Amazon Vice President Max Bardon said the card would combine the buying power, convenience and value small businesses have come to know and love from Amazon, backed by the world-class service, benefits access and security of American Express. Amazon also has a deal with MasterCard for its commercial cardholders. In April, MasterCard said it was upgrading its commercial cardholder services by connecting medium-sized and large business users to spend and data analytics related to transactions made on Amazon Business. ANZ Bank backs virtual corporate card startup DiviPay. Less than a year after launching its corporate virtual card solutions, Australia-based DiviPay has announced new funding from the venture capital arm of ANZ Bank. Reports in the Sydney Morning Herald on Saturday, Sept. 28, said the VC unit, ANZ, led a $1.56 million funding round for the startup, which also saw participation from Seedspace Ventures and Patrick Tuttle, the former chief executive of Pepper Money. In an interview with the publication, DiviPay founders Daniel Nyas and Russell Martin explained the employee spending friction that led to the development of their virtual card tool for businesses and their employees. What we found was it was very difficult for small businesses in Australia to get access to corporate cards, Nyas said. Either they would require staff to use their own money, or maybe there would be one or two company cards that would get passed around the office. One business used to photocopy the company card so it was in the top drawer of about 30 people's desks. In addition to a lack of efficiency, this strategy can be a significant security and fraud risk for a company, while also limiting the ability for managers to manage and analyze employee spend. DiviPay first formed as a consumer virtual card solution, then pivoted to become a B2B fintech, allowing companies to customize and integrate their spend policies into the virtual credit card program. The solution also integrates into businesses' existing financial and spend management platforms including Xero, QuickBooks and MYOB. At present, DiviPay services about 150 business customers. DiviPay said it plans to use the latest funding to grow its staff and further strengthen its product offering, though did not provide details on potential new features or services. But collaborating with ANZ will enable the startup to access core banking and financial products upon which it can innovate, the company noted. In a statement, ANZ Managing Director Ron Spector said DiviPay's solution solves a very real pain point for business owners and aligns with our focus on building relationships with emerging growth companies that can support our customers, bankers and partners. In the U.S., a similar startup, Brex, raised $100 million last June for its own service connecting businesses to virtual commercial cards on demand to strengthen spend controls and management. Spend management startup TeamPay raises $12 million. TeamPay, the leading provider of distributed spend management software, has closed a $12 million Series A financing led by Tribe Capital with participation from existing investors Crosscut, Silicon Valley Bank, and Precursor Ventures, bringing the total funds raised to $16 million. The increasing speed of business and greater autonomy of individual employees to make decisions has fundamentally changed how businesses spend money, said Jonathan Xu of Tribe Capital. We invested in TeamPay because it delivers the critical distributed spend management capabilities that every business needs. It's the only product in the procurement space that has a complete platform approach, and it provides seamless interoperability with ubiquitous legacy finance systems. The company reported double-digit monthly growth for the seven prior quarters, signaling the shift in digital-first companies from centralized procure-to-pay processes to employee-first, distributed spend management. To support this growth, TeamPay recently rounded out its leadership team with the addition of new executives, Peter Nesbitt, VP Finance, Nicole Lindenbaum, VP Marketing, and Matt Petkoff, Head of Sales. Having proven its products to hundreds of rapidly growing enterprises in the U.S. like Chime, McSpanel, and Riskic, the funding will go towards scaling the TeamPay platform for agile-minded CFOs and controllers around the country. TeamPay's request and approval workflow was a game changer for us. We had been looking for a way to proactively enforce policy controls and automate the procurement workflow and reconciliation, said Kevin Neary, controller at Wistia. With TeamPay, there are no more emails from the business with card requests. No more manually logging into a system to spin up a new card. Most importantly, no more being a bottleneck for requests. TeamPay founder and CEO, Andrew Hoag, recognized the opportunity during his previous entrepreneurial pursuits. The purchasing department of today is all your employees, commented Hoag. With legacy tools, you have no proactive control, and controllers spend days or weeks at the end of the month trying to code and reconcile what was spent. That's why we created TeamPay, the first distributed spend management platform that makes it safe and frictionless for everyone to buy on behalf of the company, whilst enforcing policy upfront and automatically reconciling in real time. FBI, BBB sound another business email compromise alarm. Three Kenya-based online scammers are reportedly headed to sentencing after allegedly stealing $3 million from U.S. companies via the business email compromise scam, reports in the East African said last week. The U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI, was deployed to Kenya to investigate the matter after accounts payable department professionals for Fairfax County, Virginia received an email claiming to be from Dell Computers, requesting that the county reroute pending payments to a different, Ohio-based account. At the time, reports said, the county was operating a computer supply deal for its schools, so county officials believed the email to be valid. Between August 8 and September 10 last year, the county paid more than $1.3 million to that Ohio account via 28 payments. When Fairfax County discovered it was being defrauded, the FBI launched Operation Rewired to capture the online fraudsters. The FBI revealed earlier this month that the operation led to arrests and the seizure of millions of dollars. The FBI is working every day to disrupt and dismantle the criminal enterprises that target our businesses and our citizens, said FBI Director Christopher Wray in a statement announcing the results of Operation Rewired. Through Operation Rewired, we are sending a clear message to the criminals who orchestrate these business email compromise schemes that I will keep coming after you, no matter where you are. The effects of this crime are far-reaching, and the dollar amounts involved are staggering, he added. The FBI has been vocal in recent years about the growing threat and subsequent damages linked to the business email compromise (BEC) scam, which targets accounts payable departments in an attempt to steal company cash. The Better Business Bureau has similarly issued warnings of the threat, recently publishing a paper, "Is That Email Really From the Boss?" The explosion of business email compromise scams, highlighting the cyber scam. Below, PYMNTS breaks down the numbers from the FBI's latest case, the BBB's recent research, and other cases that spotlight the ever-growing threat of the BEC scam. $3.7 million was seized by the FBI during Operation Rewired, according to the FBI's announcement. The operation also reportedly led to the recovery of about $118 million in fraudulent wire transfers linked to BEC scams. In all, 281 suspects were arrested from 9 countries, including the U.S., while 167 of those arrests occurred in Nigeria. Nearly $1.3 billion in losses have been reported related to BEC scams, the FBI noted, pointing to data from the Internet Crime Complaint Center, adding that nearly twice as many BEC-related complaints were filed in 2018 than in 2017. 80% of businesses have received at least one kind of BEC scam email last year, the BBB said in its latest report, noting that average BEC losses involving fraudulent wire transfers top $35,000. Organizations are also losing funds to fraudulent requests for gift cards, with the average gift card loss between $1,000 and $2,000. 90% of BEC scammers operate out of Nigeria, the BBB said, a timely finding considering the FBI's recently announcement on its operations in the country. These crime rings often use free trials of lead generation services to obtain the email contacts of professionals within an organization as well as their job titles. They then create a fake email address that looks similar to a real professional's to request funds. Other forms of the scam involve an infiltration of company email servers to identify potential transactions to exploit. 212 minutes, the average time it takes an organization to remediate an email phishing attack like the BEC, new data from Barracuda Networks said last week. In a blog post, the cybersecurity company warned that 11% of firms spend more than 6 hours investigating and remediating an attack. If a BEC scam is successful, however, a company can spend far longer attempting to recover funds, often an unsuccessful effort. The Cybersecurity Juggling Act of Buyer-Supplier Connectivity. When cyberattack NotPetya quickly made its rounds, one of its hardest-hit victims, shipping conglomerate AP Moller Maersk, learned firsthand the threat of a supplier base. Maersk Chief Technology and Information Officer Adam Banks spoke earlier this month at a cybersecurity conference, reflecting on that 2017 attack and noting that the company was not unusually weak, and adding that this is a fact for many organizations that can, unfortunately, lead to a false sense of security. Oftentimes, an organization's weakest point doesn't exist within the organization at all. Rather, it comes in the form of how that organization connects to its customers, business partners and suppliers, all third parties over which an organization has no control. So while a business can invest heavily in its own cybersecurity measures, vulnerabilities within a third-party vendor can fast become a supply chain-wide problem. NotPetya was just one of the cyberattacks able to take advantage of that vulnerability, using an enterprise financial software company to infect that target's customers. It's a case that illustrates the risks third parties pose to businesses when enterprise apps open access to a firm's company-wide network, according to Chief Information Officer and VP of Emerging Technologies Patrick Foxhoven at cloud security firm Zscaler. This is precisely the threat Zscaler targets with its latest rollout, Zscaler B2B. The solution focuses on business-to-business, B2B, integrations, for instance, between a company and one of its vendors to address and mitigate cybersecurity risks found within enterprise apps that connect those two firms. When businesses adopt these apps, vendors and those suppliers' own devices are looped into a corporate network, Foxhoven explained to PYMNTS in a recent interview. This means that any malware lurking on those devices can be introduced to the network and spread laterally across the entire environment. This is exactly how a well-known ransomware attack like NotPetya was able to take down Maersk's entire network for multiple days, he said. Experience over security. Organizations aren't entirely unaware of this risk. After all, the more cloud-based and internet-connected enterprise apps in place, the wider the surface area is for a bad actor to attack. The challenge, explained Foxhoven, is that they often have to choose between delivering a good user experience or having a strong security posture. Given that these are suppliers and customers, user experience tends to win out over security almost every time. Today, it's common for organizations to wield SSL Virtual Private Network (VPN) technologies to safeguard remote access to corporate networks from, say, a vendor sales representative or accounts receivable professional. Cybersecurity and IT experts agree that ease of use for end users is among the biggest advantages of SSL VPN technology. However, among its greatest weaknesses is a relatively low threshold when authenticating a user. A professional at a supplier may only need a username and password to log on to one of its customers' enterprise apps, which means that user subsequently gains access to the company network. If that professional leaves the supplier, or compromises their login details, access to that app and the company network can easily occur when it shall DNT by individuals who shall DNT be able to log in. While businesses are often aware of the security risks of their enterprise apps, Foxhoven said they're often not aware of alternatives to VPNs. He noted that Zscaler deploys technology that separates access to a single enterprise application from the company network entirely, and authenticates a user before enabling connectivity to an app. Visibility for that user is then limited to that single app, while clients can customize accessibility policies. Foxhoven explained that this prevents users from gaining access to a corporate network, and limits app accessibility only to authorized users. Two features that would have stopped an attack like NotPetya, he said. Digital transformation. As organizations attempt to balance security with end-user experience, their IT teams are also struggling to balance the C-suite's demand to accelerate digital transformation without compromising security. Foxhoven argued that IT professionals will stumble if they continue to rely on SSL VPNs. However, the juggling act is a complex one. Security experts must manage the surging number of enterprise apps being deployed today, some of which are operating in hybrid cloud environments. They must keep track of which users have access to which apps, even those users who might have left a supplier and, therefore, should no longer have access, as well as all of the devices through which those users will connect into that app. Unsurprisingly, this will become increasingly difficult as organizations' digitization journeys mature, said Foxhoven, pointing to the emergence of 5G technology as one example of forces driving businesses to migrate more of their operations to the cloud and connect more of their devices to the internet. Bad actors will prey on this sudden attack surface sprawl and leverage effective ways to obtain network access to use malware and harm companies, he said. With digital transformation taking place, the ability to bring security to the edge and scale it effectively is critical. ADIB rolls out Samsung Pay. Abu Dhabi Islamic Bank (ADIB), a leading financial institution, has announced the launch of Samsung Pay, the mobile payment and digital wallet service for Samsung devices, for its Visa-covered cardholders. Samsung Pay is the first mobile wallet system to be adopted by ADIB. The partnership allows Visa-covered cardholders to make payments using their Samsung Pay-enabled devices at any contactless POS reader around the world. The service will be gradually rolled out for Visa debit cards and the bank's MasterCard portfolio over the next period. The launch was marked with a launch event held at ADIB's headquarters and attended by senior regional representatives of Samsung, Visa and ADIB. Philip King, Global Head of Retail Banking at ADIB, said, ADIB's Visa-covered cardholders can use the convenient Samsung Pay service to make payments with a single touch of a smartphone or smartwatch anywhere contactless payments cards are accepted. This secure and simple process represents the future of payments and is further demonstration of ADIB's commitment to provide innovative digital banking solutions to customers. The UAE consumers are digitally in tune and continue to seek and harness the convenience of digital-first solutions, said Mohamed Gharaiba, head of enterprise, mobile business at Samsung Gulf Electronics. We are delighted to begin working with ADIB to give its customers access to the mobile payment technology that is revolutionizing the checkout process and enabling users to enjoy the seamless simplicity of Samsung Pay with almost every transaction. ADIB is currently undergoing a digital transformation strategy to enhance the customer experience. An initial phase in the bank's digital development program was the launch of ADIB Express, a new generation of technology-enabled branches balancing automation with a highly personalized experience. This has been complemented by pioneering mobile services such as Express Finance, which enables approved customers to receive funds in as little as 30 minutes through ADIB's mobile app. ADIB continues to experience rapid growth across its digital channels, with over 2 million mobile transactions now initiated via the ADIB mobile banking app every month. Shahbaz Khan, Visa's general manager for the UAE, said, "We are delighted to partner with ADIB to launch Samsung Pay, the first mobile wallet service enabled for the bank's Visa cardholders." Samsung Pay uses Visa's tokenization technology to secure transactions by replacing the 16-digit card number with a token. During a transaction, the token, not the actual card information, is submitted into the payment process so Visa cardholders can enjoy the quick and seamless experience of a contactless transaction with the confidence that their transactions are protected. UK Finance, no silver bullet for solving local access to cash. UK Finance is today providing an update on the banking and finance industry's commitment to help local communities secure appropriate free access to cash for customers. This follows the UK Finance announcement on 12 June 2019 which outlined proposed activity in support of the Access to Cash Review, and aligning with the existing activity undertaken by Link. Over the summer, UK Finance has been engaging with consumer representatives, local authority representatives and market participants, including Link and its members, on the cash needs of local communities. Through this work it has become apparent that, outside of Link's welcome commitment on ATM provision, the sustainability of the wider system to meet customer cash needs relies on strengthening complementary non-ATM solutions for cash and payment access. UK Finance's forward focus will include the recycling of cash in local communities, improving access to digital alternatives and the engagement of key technology and infrastructure partners. Complementary to Link's commitments, UK Finance will be focusing on solutions in the following five key areas. 1. Commitment to Link and the Post Office. UK Finance welcomes Link's recent announcement on securing free cash access in key retail centres, supported by a strengthening of the financial inclusion programme for key communities. UK Finance members support and fund Link and contracts with the Post Office through the banking framework to use 11,500 branches nationwide and will continue to monitor the effectiveness of cash provision through these channels closely and take action to improve delivery where necessary. 2. The Community Access to Cash Initiative. UK Finance is today launching this initiative to facilitate cross-industry work with local communities, through their elected officials, including MPs, members of devolved parliaments and assemblies, mayors and councillors, to help identify, report and address gaps and barriers to cash and payment provision. The initiative will provide grant support and industry guidance to local communities to improve access to cash and the adoption of alternative solutions where an ATM is not appropriate or required. Applications for grant support will be community-led and should be focused on building towards long-term solutions, for example, digital education awareness programs, driving community cashback, helping local communities to connect with partners who can increase awareness of, and access to, available and secure cash provision. Applications can be submitted via Link's website from 31 October 2019 through to 31 January 2020, with awards to be made by 31 March 2020. The assessment and award of grants will be considered by a UK Finance Award Committee made up of a cross-section of member representatives. Natalie Sini CBE has kindly agreed to chair the inaugural meeting of the award committee in an independent capacity. 3. Local community cash recycling. UK Finance believes that retailer cashback has a more significant role to play and can support the efficient recycling of cash in local communities, as well as providing much-needed support for high streets generally. Cashback can drive a healthy and efficient local cash ecosystem, whereby cash spend in shops is redrawn and spent again locally, rather than directed back to central hubs for redistribution. UK Finance will monitor and support various retailer cashback pilots and initiatives that have the ability to drive efficient recycling of cash in local communities. UK Finance is encouraged by the positive dialogue it has held with regulators on supporting cashback initiatives which are in train. 4. Access to digital innovation. UK Finance will work with key stakeholders, including Natalie Sini CBE, the UK and devolved governments, regulators and consumer representatives to encourage delivery of innovative digital solutions and help enable everyone to use digital payments through improving access to digital infrastructure and capabilities. 5. Awareness and mapping. UK Finance will develop awareness campaigns and a comprehensive map of the available channels through which consumers can access cash, e.g. bank and building society networks, post office, ATMs, merchant cashback, etc. UK Finance continues to believe that in a world of data, providing customers with information about where they can access cash is fundamental, particularly as more channels come online. The banking and finance industry is now seeking partners to build a mapping capability which would provide consumers with information on their nearest free-to-use cash outlet. Next steps and call for partners. UK Finance will continue to work closely with HM Treasury, Bank of England, regulators, Natalie Sini CBE, consumer groups and the UK Finance Consumer Advisory Group as work is progressed on access to cash. It has become increasingly clear that solutions to the access to cash challenge will be found through collaboration beyond the banking and finance industry. The challenges and opportunities faced in securing appropriate access to cash and payment services for consumers are shared by the whole of society. UK Finance is therefore calling for partners across industries, including telecommunications and big tech companies, retailers and payment innovators, to engage on the solutions in the above areas. Stephen Jones, chief executive of UK Finance, said, "The banking and finance industry is committed to ensuring access to cash remains free and widely accessible for those that continue to need it. Yet there is no one-size-fits-all approach, and only via collaboration across government, regulators, industry, customer groups and communities can this be achieved. Understanding the needs of local communities is critical, and the new Community Access to Cash initiative will help identify the most appropriate access to cash and payment service solutions. Local cash recycling will play a pivotal role in the sustainability of the system, although we can't achieve a resilient and sustainable cash landscape on our own. It is vital we are supported by other sectors such as telecoms, retailers and infrastructure providers to assure widespread provision." City Minister, John Glenn, said, "Technology is transforming how we manage our money, but with 11 billion payments made in cash last year, we know that access remains a critical issue for many. Today's announcement shows the industry stepping up to the plate to ensure access to cash for people who need it, while also helping them to take advantage of the digital innovations that are giving so many of us greater control over our finances." This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.